All right, Limits, I deemed it appropriate today to celebrate a pirate win. Could we do that one time, please? I mean, this was remarkable. I was also watching the basketball and the baseball together. My wife was watching the baseball with me. She likes pirate games, even this season. And she left, and I didn't blame her. It was 6-0. They were throwing the ball all over the place. They looked horrifyingly bad. And the game was over, and then it wasn't over. And the man who got this started was Henry Davis, who got just thrown into the game because Bart got hurt or sick or something weird happened, and I hope that he's doing okay. He was taking, you know, warm-up pitches, catching them, and just had to leave the game. So in comes Hank Davis unexpectedly. And even more unexpectedly was the result of his at-bat off one of the best pitchers around.
Here's Henry Davis batting for the first time. He swings and sends one out to deep left field. And on the first pitch he sees, he hits a long home run to left field. Henry Davis with a 2-run homer. His second of the year, and the Pirates finally on the board in this series.
Holy ostrich follicles, huh?
Finally on the board in the series. Yes. Isn't that just an indication of how the season has gone?
Man, how many people did anybody out there place a bet on the Pirates when they were down 6-0? And have you already moved, you know, onto your new yacht in the Bahamas if you did that? There was no way they were going to win. It seemed like, all right, well, that's a pretty feel-good moment. And by the way, Limits, I mean, everybody runs into one once in a while. But he absolutely hammered that thing.
Hammering Hank on full display.
At 432 feet and I think 112 miles an hour, they said. I want to see him get more chances to do that. As I mentioned earlier, I want to see this dude have an opportunity to fail for a long stretch of time. At least have that opportunity. I think it's very telling that this happened when he didn't have any time to think about it, really. He was just thrown into the game. I really believe there's something to that. And then his next swing was in some ways just as impressive. It was an opposite field double. I think John Wehner said that he had been working on this, Davis, in batting practice, just a shortened swing and getting the ball out to right center. And lo and behold, I don't know, do you have his double, Limits, or no? No. But we do have when everything really changed. And that was the Kiner Falefa hit with the bases loaded. And he's starting to become a guy that they said he was going to be. Like, he's not going to wow you with his overall numbers, but he plays winning baseball. And you just have a feeling these days that something good is going to happen when Kiner Falefa comes to the plate. So it's bases loaded. They're still down 6-3. Even Tommy Pham got on base.
Ginkle ready in the pitch. Swinging a ground ball deep in the hole to short. Perdomo diving stop. Corrals it. Throw across the first. Too late. Pham is safe with another infield hit. Give him a run batted in.
We just had
Davis
to hear it to make sure it was true.
6-3. And the Pirates are bringing the tying run up once down a half dozen here tonight.
It was incredible. It really was. Well, forget that. I'm not going to dwell on the negative in this particular segment. I want to celebrate something for once. Just for once. So up comes Kiner Falefa with the bases loaded down 6-3. And this happened, oh, limitless wonder. Even Key Brian Hayes was on base, for God's sakes.
Kiner Falefa batting. Righty batter against the righty Ginkle. The pitch swinging a roller past third and into left. Base hit and more for Kiner Falefa. It's all the way into the corner. Canario is in. Pham scores. Hayes will score. Bases clearing double. Kiner Falefa. And the Pirates have crawled all the way back to tie the game at 6.
Do you believe in miracles?
Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
Woo!
Did you see how wide that cavernous the left field was?
Yeah.
That hit? I thought he was going to get an inside the park homer.
I thought it might have been the Grand Canyon place into the stadium.
It looked like Kenny Pickett's throw in Cleveland, I think it was. Remember when he threw a ball down the right sideline and there was literally nobody in the shot? Do you remember
yes,
that throw?
I do.
I didn't think anybody was going to appear in the shot ever. The ball was just bouncing around in left field and they tie the game. And then you know, just yesterday I was very critical of Brian Reynolds. I think he's earned criticism this year. You know, I think this has been, it's been disastrous. And unfortunately, they're basically buried and he helped to bury them. But I fully expect by season's end, he's going to have the numbers that he usually has. And man, when your $100 million guy does what he's paid to do, everything looks different. It's transformative. You can win a game where you're down 6-0, and you can do it when it's 6-6 and two guys are on base and your $100 million switch hitter does this.
Beeks delivers, swing, fly ball, deep left field. Reynolds has tagged this one. Pirates in the lead. Oh, there's trouble brewing in the desert.
How about Joe Buck?
I hadn't heard that yet, and I want to hear it again in a moment after I make this point. That if two of your relievers are named Ginkle and Beeks, you're in big trouble.
You remember Beeks?
Of course I do.
Jalen Beeks, old friend from a year ago, giving up the home run.
Jalen Reeks, when he was here, it was Beeks and Ginkle last night. I don't know, was Beeks good when he was here? I just made a cheap play on his name.
He was fine, but not that good.
Malzy?
Go look it up.
Was he fine, but not
that
good?
You got to stop with this Malzy crap. You got to stop with this. Every single thing, doubting me. You're doubting my knowledge.
How good was he? How good was he? And you could have just said, I don't know. I don't remember. That's what I said.
It was a year ago. I do remember.
It was a year ago. I do remember. That statement doesn't even make sense.
You know what? Al, you're insulting my intelligence.
No, I'm insulting your integrity.
Yeah, and you continue to do it. You just continue to do it.
You're insulting my intelligence. I'm insulting your integrity. You're spot on. He was a 3.92 ERA with 17 strikeouts and 9 walks in 20 innings. He was just okay. Hmm. So not only were you right, you were spot on, and I apologize.
I accept your apology.
Thank you. And I won't bring up Malzy at least
until the next segment.
Will.
Yeah. Yeah, until the next segment.
You're in trouble when you have two relievers named Ginkle and Beeks. I'm sorry. That's a recipe for disaster. I want to hear that call again. Joe Block, tremendous at the end of this call. It's just limits. I miss fun baseball.
Me too.
I miss fun. This was like there haven't been, when you have no offense, even the good games aren't fun. You know what I mean? I like a good pitching duel as much as the next guy, but offense is fun. Comebacks are fun.
Oh, it's so much more fun than talking about all the sad things that we've had to talk about with the harsh reality of this season. Like last year, I went to 20 games. There was the excitement of Skeens, the excitement of being in a playoff push at the deadline, adding at the deadline.
We had that. Yeah, even last year we had that for a little while.
Which makes this year all the more sadder.
So, would I just love to see them rip off a bunch of wins here. What are they? They're 2-4. They're 5-3 in their last 8. I'll take it, won't you?
Yeah, even though they are 16 under, the recent stretch with Donnie Kelly has been better than what they had with Derek Shelton.
I'll say they were about to drop to 7-11 under Kelly. Instead, they're 8-10, and that feels a world different, especially with Skeens on the mound. You win today, you're 9-10.
Oh, I've been meaning to ask you this, and I don't know.
And I think Reynolds, by the way, well, like I said, when he hits, it's transformative. What were you going to ask me?
So Doran tweeted something on, I believe it was Friday, that I thought was really fascinating. It was Saturday.
Yeah.
Saying, I have a strong feeling that Don Kelly will go down in history as the manager that saved the Pirates organization. I think that's maybe a little bit too far, but I do think that Donnie Kelly is somebody who's brought a bright light to this organization and I think is a good baseball man.
I really like Donnie Kelly. I like some of the things he's done. I like the way that he's used Santana in high leverage situations. He's gone back to Bednar, who actually looks okay. Sometimes good.
Sometimes.
He has played Canario every day, which I really like. Good now call. I want to see that with Davis. Now, he's benefited from Brian Reynolds, for instance, last night, winning you a game, right? He's benefited from, at least since the last couple games, not true, but having a first baseman who can actually make contact with the ball in Horwitz. He had some big at-bats for them, right? Now he's started to slump a little. I do understand that. So he's benefiting from some things, but I do like him. Is he the savior of the organization? It might look that way if they start to win. You know, who's to say he won't be? This dude and players like Reynolds and Canario and Davis could save Ben Charrington's job. I had this thought, and I don't want people to run with this. I don't want Andrew Lindbergh putting a headline on our website or anything. It's just a thought, Limits.
You don't want Pony leading the show with this?
No, it's just a thought. Please, a thought. What if this Pirate rebuild is 1 year delayed from the Huntington rebuild? In other words, Huntington's teams in 11 and 12 contended and then fell apart, and it was year six in 2013 that everything came together. What if it's just 1 year delayed with this group? What if it's next year? What if next year they open with Skeens and Chandler and Keller and, I don't know, Ashcraft and some other veteran they bring in?
Hunter Barco, maybe?
Maybe Barco, yeah. And what if their lineup's much better? What if Canario can play? What if Henry Davis discovers it? I know a lot of what ifs, and that's why it's just a thought. It's just a thought, Limits.
Just a thought. We're not trying to go too deep into the fairy tale of what ifs here.
But what if that's true? What if it's just 1 year later? Is that possible? I think it is.
See, I think it is too, just because of how good their starting pitching is. And I mean, it's similar to the conversation that we had that if you add a bat here or there, let's say you do hypothetically add one bat and Henry Davis is another bat that is added just by default because he's hitting well and he's already in your organization.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but by the way, maybe the biggest development is what if O'Neill, besides Davis, is what if O'Neill Cruz becomes a superstar?
Yes.
And I think that's possible.
He's already a star.
This is why, Limits, even in their darkest times this year, and you know this, you can vouch for me, I said, call me crazy, but when you have starting pitching like this, it's like having a quarterback in football. You are by definition not that far away. You've done the hard part. You've done the part. You have what everybody else or a lot of teams desperately crave. Everybody does, really. Starting pitching.
To be able to cover you two-thirds of the game. I mean, Mitch Keller has pitched six innings in over half of his starts. Skeens has gone deeper into games this year. So you're covering just huge lengths of the game where as long as you have a somewhat competent offense, as Bob was pointing out last week, you would be right around 500.
Yes.
At least right now.
You have the hard part figured out, taken care of, whatever phraseology you want to use. Is that even a word, Limits?
Phraseology?
Yeah.
Probably
phrasing.
Not.
We'll stick with
you
phrasing.
You also mentioned, though, that this is...
They're not that far away. Build a bullpen. They have some pieces in the bullpen. They got Kyle Nicklaus, by the way, in AAA, killing it. I think Majinski's still going to be a piece for them, either as a starter or a reliever. He's done great. I think he had a no-hitter for a while the other night. Struck out like 10 or 13 batters. I can't remember which, but I interrupted you again. I'm sorry.
Well, I think another thing that you pointed out, too, is that starting pitching is devalued the most it's ever been now. It's still important. It's still very valuable.
Yes.
You know, being able to throw Skeens, Keller, Chandler, and whoever else, like you mentioned, out there. You throw that out there in a three-game playoff series, and I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here. Let's just say a three-game series in September or in August when you need to win it, a series you're playing against another wild-card contending team. I would take the Pirates in that equation, those three guys, over a lot of others in baseball.
By definition, you're not that far away if you have starting pitching. You should be able to cobble together, for sure, a bullpen and then a bat or two. A bat or two. Reynolds has really killed them. I mean, it's unfortunate. Maybe part of it was injury related. I don't know. But man, did they need their $100 million man. And now maybe he'll get it going here. But you wish that would happen early in a season. And if Cruz becomes a star, and I think he's on that track. I really honestly believe that. And then there's the Davis situation. And that is why you owe it to yourself as a franchise. Maybe as priority number one here, to give Henry Davis a ton of leeway, latitude, however you want to phrase that, Limits. He has to play.
Almost every day. 5 out of 7 is what I've thrown out there that I want them to do with him. 5 out of 7 games where you're not throwing him out there to the Wolves every single game. If he proves that he should be playing every single game, do it. Throw him out there even in a DH capacity, but get him more at-bats.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Just for one blessed moment before we get to the Limitless Express, can I just enjoy a pirate moment? Unfiltered, unedited, and that's Brian Reynolds' home run from Joe Block.
Let's enjoy it together.
Beeks delivers, swing, fly ball, deep left field. Reynolds has tagged this one. Pirates in the lead. Oh, there's trouble brewing in the desert.
I love that call. Do you?
That's a great line from Joe Block. Oh, trouble we need brewing, to, brewing in the desert.
We're keeping that limits. So when you and I, or you, maybe next time you call one of Bob's takes ridiculous, or if Dom is ever in here and calls Pomp a moron, and Pomp comes back at him, or if me and Bob are fighting, we're going to play that little clip, there's trouble in the desert.
Oh, there's trouble brewing in the desert.
Oh, do I love that. What do we have coming up?
All right, Joe, we're going to hear from the Steelers from the first day of OTAs. What did Cam Hayward have to say about Aaron Rodgers? What did Pat Freiermuth have to say about the wide receiver room? And what did Cabali have to say about a wide receiver at Steelers OTAs that he thinks will break out?
I guess that brings up a topic with the Pirates, too, by the way, if people want to weigh in during the Limitless Express. I discovered last night that I'm still able to enjoy a pirate moment. And I wonder if others are, or has everything been ruined? It's sort of along the lines of what John Perotto wrote the other day, that under Don Kelly, the Pirates have become watchable again, which is a very low bar. I agree with that. But are you out there? And I don't blame you either way, by the, I'm just curious. Are you still able to enjoy great pirate moments, or have you been sullied, perhaps poisoned, metaphorically speaking, to the point where nothing is enjoyable anymore? I haven't been. I discovered that last night. It's not an opinion. It's a feeling. I was riveted to the game and thoroughly enjoyed it. How about you, Limits?
I really enjoyed watching the comeback as well. I mean, there has been some of that staleness of what this season has been that has rubbed off a little bit on the viewing experience, but Donnie Kelly's squad, the way that he's running it, I think is starting to help. Now, is that because of the way the schedule has played out? I don't think so. They've played a couple of competitive teams, like Arizona was a team in the World Series a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it doesn't take much to draw me back in. That's what I learned. And when they become watchable, I watch them. And now I'm really, really eager and planning the rest of my day around a 3:45 p.m. Paul Skeen start to see if they can win a series out there.
I'll be watching it while we record the Baldwin Wiffle Ball podcast.
You have a podcast for Baldwin Wiffle Ball now?
Yes.
Who listens?
People in the league.
Oh.
Well, the numbers.
Well, why don't you just all get together over a beer at a bar and talk about the league?
The numbers also. The viewership for the podcast for Wiffle Ball. Very good numbers.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.